Thank you, choir. But before we get going, I want to say just a few minutes. It's good to see everyone. Everyone look at me. Thank you for being here. You could have been a lot of other places, but you came this morning to the house of the Lord, and thank you for that. I appreciate it. Looks good. Thanks. Good to see all of our visitors and everyone. Amen. And I have good news for you this morning. The first thing, or the most important thing, is that God loves you. Amen? Now, we talk about the gospel, the good news. There's this, you know, fancy folks, theologians call it the synoptic gospels. The synoptic, that's a fancy word, right? Some of you have probably heard that before. That word basically means see together. It means see together. It means like they see things sort of like the same way. And the synoptic gospels in the four is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What's referred to as the synoptic gospels, it means that their stories are very similar. You know, they kind of tell the same kind of stories. The book of John is not referred to that as a synoptic gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke focus more on what Jesus taught and what Jesus did. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And John, in John's gospel, focused more on who Jesus is. And that's why I love the book of John. And that's why I love studying for it, even for the messages, you know, the presenting to you. So we're really getting to know Jesus. Amen? John shows us who Jesus is by highlighting seven signs or miracles of Jesus. And six of those were not recorded in those synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John also shows us who Jesus is by allowing really Jesus to speak for himself. And he does this through making these very powerful I am statements. If you study the Bible, you know there's seven of these dramatic I am statements. And these I am statements are also not in the synoptic gospels. They're just in the book of John. And I'll list the seven and then we'll pray and we'll get started. Everybody good? Say amen. Here's the seven I am statements. If you want to do a little Bible study on your own, you can Google it. You can, you know, get out your, you know, resources, Bible study resources. But the first one is that I am, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. And that's who Jesus said he is. And that goes into detail in the book of John. And as we cruise along through John, we're definitely going to take a look at all those I am statements for sure. But today, this morning, we're going to talk about the first one where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Amen? I found it interesting too because, you know, where was Jesus born? Exactly. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And if you look up that word in the Hebrew, it means house of bread. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's like God knew what he's doing when he put all this together, right? Put the Bible together, put all this together. He's like, well, you know, maybe he had a plan to all this, you know? It's really cool as you get really studying the Bible because you start realizing that all these pieces put together, you know, all these puzzles, you know, they all come together. It's really pretty cool. So let's take a look at these scriptures. So John chapter 6, verse 22 through 51. And let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together. Lord, thank you for the beautiful song that you inspired these folks to write. And Lord, we thank you for showing us grace and mercy, giving us a way out. Lord, thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Thank you for this all the folks that's come out this morning. I pray for the ones who couldn't make it for various reasons. Lord, I do lift up our country. I pray for our leaders. I pray for our military. All the missionaries in the crazy countries are doing all the dangerous stuff they do and spreading the gospel. Lord, help us, especially as we move into a fun fall season and all our little projects we've got planned. Lord, I just ask you to direct our steps so they'll be fruitful. Thank you for the our new church family coming in, and thank you for the ones that are not quite here yet, but they're on the way. Thank you for all our leaders behind the scenes, all the little small groups and all the little things that's going on. And Lord, help me teach this. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody ready? Got a little something different this morning. I wrestled around with this all week. God knows my heart. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just telling you. I studied these scriptures. I prayed over these scriptures. I studied. I prayed. It all came together about 11:30 last night. So just seriously. And I realized, and I started kind of reaching out to some other, you know, resources and reading and looking at other preachers that have covered this. And after about three of the preachers that I respect the most saying the same thing, I thought, okay, Lord, you know, all right, let me take a different look at this, these particular scriptures right here. Because what I realized that Jesus preached this sermon. This is a sermon that Jesus preached. So how am I going to develop or create a sermon out of a sermon that Jesus preached? Good luck with that, right? So I think the Lord did a very good job with it, so I'm not going to try to tweak it or change it. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into Bible study mode. Is that cool? Which I kind of like operating like that anyway. That's what God's given me to do. So we're going to do a Bible study this morning on these scriptures. So follow along with me, and Darius going to do his best. So we're going to go scripture by scripture, and we're going to follow along, and we're going to see what the Lord's got in store for us. Is that okay? Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, so John chapter 6, verse 22 through 51. So you got to think, we've been covering John chapter 6. So, you know, Jesus fed the 5,000 and all the women and children, that kind of thing, the little, you know, bread and fishes. And then he moved on where Jesus walked out on the water and helped them during the storm. So, you know, we have those messages on our website. So I want to encourage you to go on the website and listen to the past one, two Sundays, you know, and catch up. If you've missed it, if you've missed Sunday, sometimes you miss Sunday. So I'd like for you to catch up. That way you kind of know where we're at. So this is where we're at in verse 22. All right, let's go. It says in verse 22, on the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that they had been only one boat there. How many boats? One boat there. Make sure you catch that one. And that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples. Because remember, Jesus told the disciples to scat out and go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And he was going to go up on the mountain and talk with the Father. So that's what happened. If you missed last Sunday. You know, the disciples got out in the water, big storm. You know, the storm was freaking them out there, and Jesus walked across the water and got in a boat with them. Boom, Jesus and the boat was at the shore. So that's kind of where we're at right there. So these guys got up the next morning and they realized that, hey, there was only one boat, and the disciples got on it, and they went across, and they know Jesus didn't get in the boat with them. You see where we're at right here? Now, verse 23 says, other boats. Now we got other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Now, what my commentary said there, that more than likely what happened is during that storm, what happened? Some boats were washed ashore. Okay, because remember, there's only one boat. The disciples got on it and took off. So probably more than likely what happened is that storm, you know, washed up some other boats on shore. So these guys, says other boats from verse 23, other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Now let's look at verse 24. It says, "And when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats," plural, right? "Got in the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus." Everybody with me? So if you kind of compare this story, now you look at Mark. Mark, I think it was chapter 15. Don't go there because I'm going to cruise on. If you look at Mark, I think it's chapter 15. It talks about the Jewish religious leaders were sent out to go to Capernaum and to really challenge Jesus, to ask him questions, to investigate what was going on here. So by the time all this happened and they got over to Capernaum, okay, these religious leaders and some of these other guys got in boats and they were over there. So let's go on to verse 25. It says, "When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?'" Now, when you study this all the way to the end, and I'm going to just bring up the speed a little bit, Jesus is actually in the synagogue at this time. He's at the synagogue, and he's teaching. And he's sharing, and he's preaching. And these religious cats, they come up to, you know, these Pharisees and these investigative reporters, you know, from CNN. You know, they're there trying to gather some, well, I shouldn't get political there, so anyway, I'll stay right here. They were trying to get some information on Jesus. So they're in a synagogue. You think about it too. In the synagogue, what they tell us, the historians tell us, and is that, like if we were in a synagogue, it was kind of like this. They had a little time of music. They had some instruments playing. And there was someone up teaching and preaching and reading from the Bible, you know, reading from the ancient scrolls. And here's what would really happen. They said that basically all the women would be on this side, and all the men would be on this side. Y'all have heard that before, right? Most of you? Y'all want to try that next Sunday? Mm-hmm. But sometimes they say that all the men would be down on the, you know, on the lower deck, and the women would be up in the balcony. Now, some folks say that's where they got the idea of where women shouldn't speak in church. You know, that's what some folks say, is because, you know, back in the day, women were not allowed to learn how to read. They were a little uneducated and that sort of thing. And so what would happen is all the men over here and all the women over here, you know, the wives would be kind of asking their husbands questions over here. "What did he say? What did he mean by that?" And the husband would be like, "Hang on." And they'd wind up with these cross-talking discussions going on and not have any order. So finally they just say, you know, "You women folk, just wait till you get home and ask your husband when you get home, what did he mean by that?" Now, that sounds real sexist, but that's the way it was back then, right? And so some say that's where this whole scripture kind of women don't talk in church. I don't know. Study it for yourself. Amen? Everybody with me? Bless K. Arthur, right? verse 26. Now, let's read on. Verse 26, it says, "Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly.'" Everybody say that with me. "Truly, truly." One more time. Right? "Truly, truly." If you look up that word, "truly, truly." Remember, we're doing Bible study here now, okay? Preaching the word, teaching. This is the word. "Truly, truly" means it's a firm statement. It's very firm. It's like Jesus saying, "Now, hang on right here. I really want you to listen to me right here. Hey, listen up. Listen up. Listen to this real closely." That's what it means when you see that in the Bible. It says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you." It's like Jesus is getting real firm and he's saying, "Pay attention. Stop sleeping. Stop riding. Listen up." That's what Jesus is doing. So right here he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Now, right here, he's separating this thing between spiritual and materialism, right? There's spiritual needs and there's material needs. Now, does God tell us that He will supply our material needs? Yeah, He does. God cares. I know, you know, the Bible says that man doesn't live by bread alone, right? By the power of the Word. But He also says this. He says, give us this day, right? What? Our daily bread. So God is concerned. He wants us to meet our material needs. Maybe not our wants, right? But definitely our needs. So Jesus, but He was separated right here. And that word fill, it says you ate your fill of the loaves. That fill, when you look it up in the Greek, it means to gorge. That's what it means. They gorge themselves. It's like going to Mama June's, right? And going back two times. I don't live like that no more. Thank the Lord. But some of y'all know what I mean, don't you? Come on. Oh, just me. I'm the only one to gorge myself at a Royal Cafe. I see you. I got my spies out there. But that's what that means. So these guys gorged themselves when Jesus, you know, multiplied those fish and that bread. And so anyway, verse 27. Verse 27 says, do not work for the food. Do not work for the food. In other words, here we go. They're trying to work their salvation. They're trying to be saved by works. And Jesus talks about do not work for the food. Do not work for this that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. In other words, put your efforts into things that's going to matter eternally. Don't put your efforts and focus so much on the material things, but put your real focus and your real efforts on those things where moth and things that can't come and steal, right? And can't come and destroy. So Jesus is trying to get them to focus. Focus on the spiritual things that really matter. And He says, which the Messiah, He did not say that, right? He says the Son of Man. Why do you think He didn't say Messiah right there? Because He's talking about that a lot. Because these guys were looking. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for their king. They were looking for the person to come in and take over and get rid of these crazy Romans that had them, you know. So He said, which the Son of Man will give to you. Jesus said He will give you this. For on Him, God the Father has set His seal. And if you look at that seal, He's been sealed. Jesus had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's baptized and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus was on His eternal mission. And He was sealed. It was His destiny. It was His destiny to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to suffer and die on a cross, to be raised on the third day, to ascend into heaven, and to sit at the right hand of the Father and be our high priest. He was sealed for that. He was made and created for that. That was His destiny. Verse 28 goes on and says, then they said to Him, what must we do? Oh, here we go. What must we do? I mean, look at the scripture. Right here it is. What must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, I want you to quit smoking. I want you to quit cussing. I want you to clean up and cut your hair. I want you to get a different job. I want you to start tithing 10%. I want you to stop doing this. I want you to stop doing that. I want you to clean yourself up real good and then come to church. You know, this is what Jesus said, right? I want you to get your act together. I want you to get over those past hurts. I want you to forgive this person. I want you to forgive that person. And when you get through all doing that, dang, man, the devil's such a liar. The enemy is such a liar. I mean, right here, guys, right here in this scripture, this is where Jesus could have laid it out. Right here. They said, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Look at what Jesus says. Verse 29, Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." Just believe in Him who God sent. Guys, that's that simple. We talk about salvation and being born again. Romans 10:9 lays it out. Right? Confess. If a person will confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe. Everybody got it? And believe in the heart that God raised them from the dead, they shall be saved. Wow. Verse 30. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do?" Oh, they were like, "Okay, that sounds cool. But what sign can you do for us, that we may see and believe you?" You're going to have to do some kind of something. I don't know. You're going to have to do some kind of sign. You're going to have to do something fancy here. Yeah, we were impressed. We heard about the bread and the fishes and walking on the water and all that kind of stuff. But we need some kind of sign. We need something from you. What work do you perform? You guys, they were looking for another little magic trick from Jesus. That's what they were looking for. They perform for us again, and maybe we'll believe in you. I love it here. Jesus didn't even answer their question. He didn't even go. He was like completely ignored their ridiculous, stuff. And Jesus went around to 31, right? Verse 31, he says, "Our fathers," they did. They come up with this thing. "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. It is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." And basically, if you look at the dialogue, they were basically saying, "Hey, Moses, he was a miracle maker. He gave us something to eat during the years, walking around in the wilderness. The manna, He supplied the manna, the little bread, or whatever it was, They did, just for that one day. If they didn't eat it that day, then it was going to what? Start rotting and stinking and worms and all that stuff's coming in. So day by day. So Jesus said to them right away, what did he say? "Truly, truly." In other words, wait a minute. Jesus is like, I'm going to straighten you out right here. I need to straighten this out. No. He says, "I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven." No. It wasn't Moses who did that. Then he steps right into his purpose. He says, "But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." See, Moses is, God moved through Moses with the manna, and it kept them alive. It was sufficient for them. And, that bread and the nutrients and the food and that kind of thing, one day at a time. Well, what Jesus was saying is, "I'm the bread from heaven. I'm going to be, I'm the one that if you eat of this, you're going to live forever." Not one day at a time. Jesus offered what, guys? Eternal life. 33, verse 33, "For the bread of God is He who come down from heaven and gives to the world." He gives. Guys, listen closely. If I say to you, "Truly, truly, today," love is an action word. Love is an action word. Love gives. Love gives. Let that sink in now. God says He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Well, I could preach a whole message on that one. I'm going to let it go. Verse 34, "They said to Him, Sir, give us this bread always." And here it comes. Ready? Everybody clap your hands. Yay, here we go. I'm excited. You're not excited. That's kind of a dumb thing to do, but I'm trying to get you stirred up a little bit. Here it is. This is Jesus. This is what He said. Verse 34, right? 35, He said, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Now here's this "I am" statement again. Last week we learned that I am, in these scriptures right here, means what? Anybody remember the Greek? Ego eimi. I know it's goofy, but say it with me. Ego eimi. One more time. There you go, like let go of my ego, right? Remember that? Ego eimi. That's what it means. It means I am. It's an old Hebrew word. It goes back all the way to Moses at the burning bush and asking God, what do I tell the people who sent me? And God said, tell them that I am that I am. I am has sent me. And this is Jesus saying, not only is this metaphor of a bread kind of cool, it makes sense and, you know, gives life, nutrition, you know, keeps us alive. But he's saying, I am that I am, and here I am as the bread of life, the sustainer of everything. Everybody got it? The sustainer of everything. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Verse 36, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. They were blinded by their sin. They were blinded by their sin. 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. Now think about this for a minute. Jesus, the great I am, the bread of life, he's presenting himself, is standing right in front of these people, right in their face. And they couldn't see him. They couldn't see him. So next time you try to minister to your knuckle-brained coworker or your crazy neighbor or some kind of stuff like that, and they just, you know, tell you to hit the road or ignore you and tell you you're a crazy religious freak or all that, don't feel bad. I mean, Jesus was standing right there and they were like, yeah. So you just do your best, plant your seeds and move on. Because if Jesus couldn't convert them, you know, right? You see how practical that is? You know, you think about that that way. All right, I know the time. I didn't think it was going to take this long, y'all. Y'all with me? Can you stand up stretch? Everybody good? All right. Just a little bit more. I'm excited about this. I'm sorry. I just like this stuff. Verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but for the will of him who sent me. And basically, Jesus' will was to come and seek and save the lost. You know, he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Right? Verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me. It's Jesus talking. That I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it. Okay? He says, I will raise it on the last day. Now, 39 and 40 looks very similar. When you really get into it and study 39, Jesus is talking about himself and his body. So the last day will be that third day when he's getting ready to be raised up. In other words, everything that the Father gave Jesus to do, everything, all that stuff I mentioned earlier about being born a virgin, live a sinless life and all that, the whole mission that Jesus is going to do, that will be it. And it, his body, will be raised up on the third day. Number 40 is talking about our body. Number 4 is talking about our body, so let's read that. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone... Okay, who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up. Him up, or her, right? On the last day. And that's talking about the resurrection, the rapture, you know, the rapture of the church. So it's real interesting right here. If you really study this and look at it, I don't have time to get into that right now, but his resurrection, our resurrection. He is the first, right, to be raised from the dead. And he's our example. And one day we'll be raised from the dead. And the old trumpet call comes, right? I hadn't done that in a while. Have I ever done that for you? Well, okay. Verse 41. So the Jews grumbled. The Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. I mean, he's really firing them up now. He's really got them jacked up now. They're fired up because he's already talking about, I am the great I am. I'm the bread of life. And now he's talking about he come down from heaven. And you can see they're really just so blind. Verse 42, they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? I mean, isn't this old Jesus that used to tear off the cane poles and go down to the river and catch some speckled perch with my son? Isn't this Jesus who used to chase people around with them rocks and throw them at them? Come on, you don't think Jesus did some crazy little stuff when he was a boy? Sure he did. He was a boy. You know, he was 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 years old, whatever. I'm sure he did some fun boy stuff, swinging through the woods and on vines and things. You know, I think like that. It's very practical. You know? That's what they're saying. This is Jesus. This is old Joseph and Mary's boy. What? You know, this is the hometown boy. You know, Jesus said a prophet in his hometown had no respect. You know, so here we go. You know, they said, how does he now say, I have come down from heaven? They were very confused. And Jesus answered them, verse 43, and said, do not grumble among yourselves. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone. Now, did it say some people? It says, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father, talking about himself. And verse 47, here he goes again. Truly, truly. In other words, you better listen up closely right here. Listen closely about what I'm about to say. That's what Jesus is saying. Whoever believes has eternal life. Whoever. That means whoever. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've done. Period. I don't care what you did when you was 12 or 15 or 20. I don't care what happened to you. I mean, I do care, but I mean, you know, God loves you. And whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 48. Jesus hammered it home. How many times has he said this? How many times? He says, I am the bread of life. 49 through 51 says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Guys, I'm never going to die. I'm never going to die. Do y'all know that? I mean, I don't say that braggadociously or pridefully. I say that because I truly, truly, I think I do anyway, really understand my identity in Christ. That I'm not ever going to die. Because see, what you see right here, this body, flesh, this is not the real me. This here, this is just my earth suit. I am a spirit. I have been born again and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. Now, if the Lord comes in a rapture and takes us, that's good. But if this old body gives up the ghost one day, you know, this old body goes back to earth, it doesn't matter. This is not me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. This is not me. I'm never going to die. That's when the Bible says, death, where is your sting? Oh, I'm sure there'll come a day when I'm dying, I'll be sad to leave Lynn or vice versa or whatever. Yeah, all that human emotions will be there. But that fear, oh, Jesus. I'm never going to die. And if you're a believer If you believe in Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection, you're never going to die. That's what Jesus just said. That's not my hyped up opinion, is it? That's not my real cool looking sounding religious thought. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. And the last verse, this is Jesus, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you. We just love you. Father, if there's one here this morning that's never accepted you, they've never partaken of that fresh bread that gives eternal life. Lord, Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that when we sing this song of invitation, that you would draw them, that you would woo them to the cross. Lord, I'd be glad to talk to them. They can come down and talk to me and settle this right now. They can be a child of the King, a citizen of heaven. I just pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.